Takk for at du hører på vår podcast. Salt en kirke som ønsker å lede mennesker til et nytt og bedre liv gjennom etterfølgelse av Jesus. Dette skjer nå ikke bare i Bergen, for vi i gang med å plante en ny kirke i Trondheim. Om du interessert i å være med på dette, eller bare ønsker å få mer informasjon om Salt Trondheim, vil vi gjerne ha kontakt med deg. Gå inn på salt.co/Trondheim for å få vite mer. Takk igjen for at du hører på. Her ukens budskap.
It's good to be back in Bergen. Bergen is my favorite city in Norway. It's partly because it's so beautiful, but it's partly also because Salt Church is here, one of the greatest churches on planet Earth, with the greatest pastors. I love your pastors. Pastor, I'm going to try it now. Are you ready? Pastor Ustein. Ustein and Gina. They're amazing. I just want to say that they are outstanding. I love the vision that they have. You know, there's not many senior pastors that would allow a whole weekend of events on modern-day slavery every year. And I want to just honor them for raising their voices, for allowing this issue, modern-day slavery, to be at the forefront of their mission. To inspire Bergen that the end of slavery is coming closer. And I just love that. So I just want to honor them. And I also want to honor Benedicta. She's done an outstanding job, and the whole team have. There's no church, I believe this, there's no church that's ever, it might not be true, but I believe it. There's no church that does 5 events in a weekend to raise the issue of modern day slavery. So I just want to honor you for what you have done. Benedicta, you are a hero to me. I love the fact that we get to do this together. We may be part of different organizations, but we're actually part of the same team, which is just vastly important because we're on team abolition, because we both want to live in a world free from slavery. So can we just honor her right now? You do an awesome job. I am so proud of you. Oh, we are proud of you. It's awesome. 2, 3, and thank you very much, band. Give them a round of applause. You are awesome. Woo! Yeah. Okay, well, it's great to be here in Norway. I am I'm the chief executive founder of Hope for Justice, an anti-slavery charity that has now 8 locations all over the world. We're rescuing victims of human trafficking, modern-day slavery. We're restoring them. We've got aftercare facilities and schools to help them to get reintegrated back into society. And then we work with governments all over the world. Can I just say one government that we were just recently in? Our team were working with, there were 6 of us in the room, with a man that's famous at the moment called President Trump. And we were working with him and working to see how we can end slavery in America. Amazing opportunities that we are seeing. I am married to a woman called Debbie. We've been married for 13 or 14 years now. Depending on when you listen to this podcast. Sorry, Debbie. And 2003, someone worked that out. 13 years. Good. 14 years. I don't know. I just don't know. It's breaking me. We have 2 awesome kids, Isabel and Lily. Isabel is just amazing. She's like 12 years old. She's now starting to do makeup. And she's, I trained as an opera singer, so she's borrowing my makeup. I'm like, no, that's my eyeliner. Stop it. And she's like, it's mildly embarrassing. True. And then the other thing is my other daughter is Lily, and Lily is cheeky. I don't know where she gets it from, but she is cheeky. In fact, just a few months ago, I was with Lily. I walked downstairs. She was at the breakfast bar, and she was sat next to my wife. And I said to Lily, I said, Lily, you've got to walk the dog to school today. She was like, Dad, I don't want to walk the dog. I don't want to walk to school. You know I don't like walking to school, Daddy. I'm like, yeah, but you have to because Mom needs to go to work and I need to go to work, so we need to walk the dog, and that's the way that we can walk the dog, so you're going to have to walk the dog to school. She's going, but Dad, you don't know how hard school is nowadays. It's so hard. We have tests. You didn't used to have tests. Really? I didn't have tests? Like, come on, Dad, please, please. I'm like, you are walking the dog to school. I'm just going to go and get ready and straighten my hair. But you're walking the dog to school. And I go up and I do that, and it looks amazing. And I do an Instagram post and say, hello, I'm a gift to the world. Bless you right now. I walk downstairs and there she is. She's still crying and I've already got 150 likes. And she's crying and she's like, hey, dad, please don't make me walk to school. I'm like, Lily, you are walking to school. Dad, I thought you loved me. I'm like, oh my gosh, don't use that card. I do love you. Please, dad, I'm begging you. I'm begging. All right, Lily. You can walk to, you can, I'll give you a lift to school. We'll put the dog in doggy daycare. And I walk up and out the room and she stops crying. And then I see that she turns to my wife and she says, and that, my friend, is how you get the job done. I walked into the room. That's so funny, Lily. You're walking the dog to school. It was amazing. And then a few months after, you know, I was teaching her how to like to ride a bike because it's like the rite of passage for a father to teach their child how to ride a bike. So I was teaching her and I was like, you can do it, babe. You've got this. And she's like, you know, but dad, I'm so scared. You've got this. You are stronger than you think you are. Come on, babe. And she's going for it, and she's falling off, and she's going for it, and then suddenly she gets it, and she goes like the wind, into the wind, and all I can see is this hair flapping, and then I hear this, and she says, Dad! I'm like, what? She goes, this is living! Like, awesome. I hope we still say that about church. I hope we still say it about when we come in here and people's lives are transformed. When people put their hand up at the end of the service and says, hey, I want to follow Christ. I hope we still shout out, this is living. I hope we still get excited about people's breakthroughs. When people get healed, we don't just get used to it, but actually still that kind of wonder and awe of the fact that God can still heal, God can still save, or God can still do the breakthroughs. This is living. If you've got your Bibles, if you want to turn to Matthew 9, I will turn to it also. It says this, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. And at this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming, knowing their thoughts. Jesus said, why do you entertain such evil thoughts in your heart? Which is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. Then the man got up, and he went home, which the crowd saw this, and they were filled with awe, and they praised God, and they shouted, this is living. They didn't. They praised God who had given such authority to him. I love this story. You know, he gets out the boat and like he's like, hey, I'm here, don't worry. People bring someone to him and he's like, yeah, don't worry. Your sins are forgiven. And everyone's going, you cannot do that. You don't have the authority to do that. And he's like, yeah, I do. And just to show that I have the authority to forgive sins, get up and walk. I mean, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, because they hadn't read it like we have. I mean, that's true, right? I mean, we read it and we go, yeah, I know. I know what's coming next. It's awesome. He dies and then we rose again and it's awesome. But can you imagine just being there for one moment? Can you imagine the fact that everyone's, you cannot do that. You cannot say that. You can't get up and walk. Boom, he did. Oh, okay. Whoa, awesome, right? But then this day gets better, right? Because he gets out the boat and he says, you're forgiven, walk. And then this guy, Matthew, he says, hey, Matthew, I think you should come follow me. And he goes, yeah, right. And he does. I mean, growth, people. I mean, growth. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, when people, I remember when we first started Hope for Justice, when someone said, yeah, I'll be a supporter. I was like, awesome. That's so good. Come here. And then I scared them and they ran away. And I was like, come back. No, please, mate. I'm sorry. I'll play it cool. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, whatever. Come and join me if you want. We want to end slavery. And, you know, a new follower, it's an awesome day, right? And then this man comes to him and says, Jesus, I don't know if you can help me, but my daughter, she's died. She's dead. What do I do? He said, don't worry. I love the words of Jesus. Don't worry. Don't worry. She's not dead. She's just asleep. That girl, dead. It ceased to exist, but because of Jesus' words, that woman becomes alive. This is living, Judge. This is living. I hope you still get excited about the Word of God. And then what happens is, like, this woman who's long-term sick, and she goes, I didn't go up to him, but I need something of Jesus. I need him in my life. I'm long-term sick. She touches the hem of his garment, and she's healed. This is living, Church. This is living. I'm excited. You might want to tell your faces. And just a joke. And then, right, as if this day doesn't even get it. I mean, he encounters someone who's blind. And he says, hey, see. And he does. And then he meets someone who's mute, who cannot speak. And he says, speak. And he can communicate. I mean, this is living, Church. When Jesus gets out, when Jesus steps out, people are forgiven. People walk again. People who need him can follow him. People who need a breakthrough and that are dead and sick in their body get their life and their freedom. I'm telling you, Church, this is the Jesus I know. This is the Jesus I worship. This is the Jesus that stepped out of heaven and did extraordinary things for us. This is living. But Jesus goes on at the end of this scripture and he utters these words. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You know what I've realized through leading Hope for Justice is that there are many issues in the world. There are many problems in the world. There are many problems in our society, in our communities. There are brokenness. There is brokenness. There is hurting people all around us. There are millions of people that are caught in modern day slavery. There are girls, men, women that are yet to walk free, to know what it is to live a free life. But we are that few that helps them. You see, what God has given the world, the brokenness, is a people, a small amount of people sometimes, but carry the weight and the authority of God to change that circumstance. You see, my friends, I'm not just talking to people here. I'm talking to the few. I'm talking to the royal few. I'm talking to the people God has chosen to bring hope to the hopeless, to bring light in the darkness. I'm talking to the agents of change that will see society transformed forever. I'm talking to people that have the authority to step out of their world, step out of their boat to bring freedom to the captives, comfort those who mourn. I'm talking to the hope of all planet Earth, which is the Church. I'm talking to people that can change governments. I'm talking to people that can go into businesses and turn it around. I'm talking to people that can go into social services and into the police and see the heartbeat of Christ pulse throughout the whole of the organization. I'm talking to world changers because we are the few. You know, one thing I've realized is being the few is that Jesus was very closely aligned to his vision. And I believe that if we're going to have the DNA of the few, the people that keep on going, that don't just have spasms of passion, but see it through to the end, that have long obedience in the same direction, the people who do that are closely aligned to the vision. You know, Jesus was closely aligned to the vision. When he first spoke, when he unrolled that scripture that he read from Isaiah 61, he said this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news, to bring freedom to the captives, to comfort those who mourn." I love it. I love that Jesus spoke these words to bring beauty from ashes, to help them rebuild the cities, rebuild their lives. Oh, Jesus, when he stepped out the boat, he wasn't just speaking a vision. You see, when Jesus stepped out the boat, he was living the vision. He was the vision. He was doing it every time, every connection. He was so aligned with the vision that the vision made people flourish. You see, where there is no vision, the Bible says, people cast off restraint. But if you know the vision, oh, the vision is living. It captivates your heart. It enables you to do what you do. Do you know the vision? What's your vision for your life? You know what my vision is? Is I want to live in a world free from slavery. I want to live in a world where children are protected, that they aren't forced to do unspeakable acts to men and women all over the world, where children can grow up in schools and they are taught of their value and their potential. Oh, I want to live in a world where men aren't forced to work against their will in back-breaking, grueling hours, where all they wanted to do was provide for their family. I want to live in a world where that man can provide for his family, that he can be the father that he always wanted to be. I want to live in a world where women aren't seen as sexual objects forced to do unspeakable acts, but they are taught that they are princesses, that they are awesome, they are valued, that they have a place in society. They are leaders in their own right. I want to live in a world free from slavery. You know, a few months ago, I met this girl. This girl, her name is Sophia. And Sophia was sold at a young age by her mom. And this was actually what her mom did to her. She literally put her in chains. She locked her up. She padlocked her. And then she brought men to her every day. Queues of men. This girl, Sophia, was eventually sold to a construction worker who then put her to forced labor and then also sold her to men. My vision is that girl and girls like her never have to experience that. What's your vision? What are you wanting to do with your life? What are you stepping out the boat for? What are you deliberately on purpose, purposing your life to achieve? I want to make sure that girls like that walk free but never have to go through it in the first place. What's your vision? You know, one of the other things that I've realized about vision is you've got to know your place in the vision. You know, I go to a church called Audacious. You had my pastor come and speak at the men's conference. Audacious is an awesome church, very similar to this church. And we have people on the car park and they are like welcoming people into church and they're like, "Hello, welcome to church." And the guy that's driving in, he's like, "Well, why did you welcome me? That's bizarre." And then there's like someone who's got an umbrella and they come and when he gets out the car, they've got like an umbrella and he's going, "My gosh, I've never been to church. This is a bit weird. Why have you got an umbrella for me? It's very kind of you, but I've got my own umbrella." And then he walks into the building and then there's someone there with some sweets and they go, "Hey, how you doing? Welcome to church." He's going, "Thank you for the sweets. Are they poisoned? Is this a cult?" And then we go and we get shown into our seats and then the guy's there and the worship starts and everyone's wearing tight skinny jeans. Because you cannot lead worship now without tight skinny jeans. It's the law. You know it. It's true. The Holy Spirit won't come. And then like it's exciting and they're all jumping and this guy's going, "Oh my gosh, they're all excited. Maybe I should be too. What am I doing with my hands? I've got my hand up. Stop it. Oh, oh dear. And then, like, then the pastor comes on and he's like, "Hey guys, how you doing? Welcome to church. I'm so excited to see you. Hey," and then he starts preaching. He's going, "God is for you. He is not against you. Some of you have been thinking that God is not with you. But let me tell you about Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present. Let me tell you about Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. He loves you, my friend." And this guy's going, "He does? Oh my gosh. God loves me? Are you kidding me? I've been told all my life that Jesus was against me, that I was too much of a sinner. But this guy is telling me that I need him in my life. I need that freedom. I need that help." And he puts his hand up. You know, a great church asks and creates that moment. A great church creates that moment. If you don't ask, you won't get. You know, an awesome organization, an awesome church gives that win, that moment, and communicates it to the car park guy. Because you know what's interesting about vision is everyone buys into the vision, go, "Yeah, we're changing the world. We're changing the world." But the guy in the car park, he's going like this, "Welcome to church." Guy goes past. "Welcome to church." Guy's going past. "Welcome to church. Why am I doing this?" Have you ever asked yourself that? Why am I doing this? Does it really make a difference? You know, I'm here to tell you, yes, it does. You see, because every win is your win. You see, you are playing your part. You are playing a part, the logic fabric of this church that is reaching Bergen, that is actually stamping out the darkness, that is invading in and bringing freedom and hope in the name of Jesus. You, my friend, you are changing the world. Every time that you welcome, every time that you give, every time that you're on the AV, you hit that drum, every time that you welcome, every time that you invite, that is part of the fabric of church. It's all playing this symphony of freedom into Bergen. You are making a difference. Know your place. You know, in my organization, you know where it hits the most? Is the person who answers the phones. You see, when someone answers the phones, you know, all the investigators, they're getting out and they're rescuing them like, yes. All the people that are in the schools and they're helping the girls to get their education, they're like, yes. But the person who answers the phones, "Hello, Hope for Justice, I'll connect your call. Hello, Hope for why am I doing this?" I'd love to say to them, and I say to them all the time, "You're not just answering the phones, you're changing lives. You're ending slavery. Hey, you're not just answering the phones today, my friends. You're building his kingdom. You're building a mechanism of freedom for people all over Norway. You're sending church plants all over." Oh, I tell you, remember your why. Remember why you're doing it. You're part of the mission. You're a valuable part of this church. Know your vision and know your place in it. And if I can just get the band up, that'd be awesome. The third thing is celebrate the wins. You got to celebrate what you want to replicate. You know, I love celebration. I'm a massive advocate for celebration. You know, celebration, let me tell you what it is. It's the act of celebrating an important date or event. I can't think of anything more to celebrate than someone saying yes today. I can't think anything more to celebrate than when you step out that boat and someone gets their forgiveness. I mean, isn't that awesome? Shouldn't we just shout out every time as church, this is living? I mean, isn't it awesome that man that for his whole life couldn't walk, but Jesus said, "Don't worry, you're going to be well. Get up and take your mat and go home." And that moment needs celebrating. They did, you see. At that point in time, they all went, "Wow, how awesome is this? Jesus can heal. He can forgive." Got to celebrate what we want to replicate. You know what we do every time that we get a rescue is that we get a padlock. You know that girl I showed you, if we can just get her up again. She literally had chains that bound her. She had padlocks that kept her. but not anymore, my friend. You see, because someone in an auditorium like this decided to do something, someone who said, yes, I want to live in a world free from slavery, someone that used their freedom to free others, that girl is not in chains anymore. She doesn't need this anymore. This isn't hers. It's part of her past. It's not part of her future. We're going to keep that. You see, this is what she looks like now. Right in the middle. Free at last. My God, she is free at last. See, what we do every time to celebrate is that we literally write her name on here. Because Sophia, you don't need that anymore. You're free. And we store them on a wall. We call it the Freedom Wall. And in the last 2 years, we've been able to help 32 people get their freedom. We've been able to help 131 girls graduate our program in Cambodia. We're working on cases in Norway. We're working on cases in America. We're now working in cases in Scotland. Freedom on a wall. Because we celebrate that moment. Celebrate what you want to replicate. How are you going to celebrate the vision? How are you going to know your vision? You know, I'm a firm believer in celebration. This is what celebration does. Celebration gives you a clear understanding of what the win is. Celebration reminds you that change is possible. Celebration helps you go again. See, every time I walk past that wall, every time I see that padlock, I say, hey, God, if you can do it for Sophia, you can do it for someone else. And you know, we want thousands of those padlocks. We want thousands of them as tokens of freedom. No, my friends, we don't want thousands of them. We want 21 million of them. Because I want to live in a world free from slavery. I want to live in a world where children are bought and sold. I want to live in a world where men can be free and fight for their families and protect them. I want to live in a world where women are seen as valued, as cherished, as loved. I, my friend, I want to live in a world free from slavery. I see it. It's my promised land. It's my vision. What are you stepping out the boat for? Because you get to decide that. What are you going to do with your life? What do you want to achieve with your life? What's your vision? Then know your place in it. And my gosh, celebrate it. Because church is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. We're going to sing this song because I just believe tonight some people are going to get a calling from God. Some people are going to get fresh revelation. What I do matters. You might be that person on the car park that's going, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? I'm here to tell you, you are changing the world. You are building His kingdom. You are seeing lives changed. I'm here to tell you, you got to celebrate the win. Know your win. You know the interesting thing about this story? When Jesus stepped out, they said this to him in their thoughts. Who do you think you are, Jesus? What authority do you carry to forgive sins, to tell a man to walk, to tell them to come follow me, to say to the blind man, see? What authority do you have? You see, when Jesus stepped out of the boat, he knew this one thing. I have all authority. I'm not just a nobody, I'm a somebody. Hey, I tell you, when you step out today, when you walk out this building, I want you to walk out with confidence, because you aren't a nobody. You're part of the royal family. You are part of the royal few. You are sent like missionaries into the darkness to invade our world with light and hope and freedom. When we step out of the boat today, we have no rival. We have no equal, because we are part of His kingdom, a kingdom that will never be shaken, a kingdom that is forcefully advancing. We're going to sing to the King above all kings today that you have no rival. You have have no equal. We're going to step out the boat. We're going to build the vision. We're going to know our place. And God, we're going to enjoy the journey. Let's sing to Him. You have no rival.
Takk for at du lyttet til podcasten til Salt. For å høre flere, besøk oss på saltbergen.no.